And that learning to cry, it wasn't just crying over sadness that I no longer felt like I had the life I once had, but it was also crying of just anger.
Sure.
Being ignored and no one understanding. At that time, I didn't have other friends who had congenital heart defects. I only just had a healthy heart of people. And so trying to find that network, trying to find that system, trying to find answers, it made me very determined. And through that determination, it gave me a positive outlook.
What are some different ways we can define success in our lives? How is one heart warrior creating success for herself while helping others? What advice does this heart warrior have for others living with complex congenital heart disease? Welcome to Heart to Heart with Anna. I am Anna Jaworski, the mother of an adult with a single ventricle heart, an author, publisher, and the host of your program. Today's show is our first Saturday success story, and our guest is Annie Olchek. Annie Olchek was born in Lima, Peru in 1979 with nomenclature HLHS, pulmonary stenosis, double inlet right atrium, and double outlet right ventricle. She was adopted and had the two-stage HLHS process, the BT shunt at age 3 and classic Fontanne at age 7 at Boston Children's Hospital. She was diagnosed with congestive heart failure and cardiac cirrhosis in 2010. In June 2014, she was diagnosed with autoimmune sericitis of the peritoneum. In December 2014 and January 2015, she was diagnosed with atrial flutters and has undergone 2 cardiac ablations. God bless you. I know that's not easy. Following her most recent health struggles, Annie developed a passion for nutrition and improved her health dramatically via an overhaul of her diet. Annie works full-time as a dual executive assistant and project coordinator for a prominent Boston healthcare system. When she's not working, she can be found volunteering at Quincy Animal Shelter and for the Congenital Heart Association's peer-to-peer mentoring program. My loyal listeners will remember Annie from the shows that she did. One of them was Living with HLHS and Evolving Diagnoses. And if you understood the bio that I just read, you can understand why we had that show. Or you might have heard her on the Houston Methodist ACHD 2021 virtual conference program. Welcome back to Heart with Anna, Annie.
Thank you for having me back, Anna. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, I always love talking to you, and we could talk forever. But let's get started and talk about this Success Saturday show. I'm really excited because I did a poll of my Facebook listeners, and I said, what kind of shows do you want for February 2023? And they really loved the Success Saturday stories. And I knew I had to have you on because that would just make it more fun. So we want to feature people who are successful in different ways. And Anna, you are successful in so many ways. But let's talk about how you've successfully negotiated finding care for yourself. Because after reading that really complicated medical history, anybody who has listened to this can tell that you've had to negotiate quite a few different diagnoses. So tell us some of the lessons that you've learned in taking control of your health and your healthcare.
So I will say that it wasn't easy, that's for sure. And it really did take a lot of struggling and at times feeling like I was drowning and learning how to cry again, because it's just navigating waters when you're finally on your own and as an adult versus having your parents do it for you. It's, how can I put this? It really is a struggle. And the team that I now have medically that deal with my heart, my liver, my mental health, and even gynecologically, it's really unbelievable. And so for me, it's advocating, really advocating and speaking up. So and one of the things that when I get asked questions, oh, how did you find this doctor? Or how did you get to where you are? It's making sure that if there's a doctor that you have, a provider, a nurse practitioner, whatever it is, and you're unhappy with them, the goal is to not be with that person who is not giving you the care and attention that you feel you need, because by not speaking up, you could be missing something quite important that could be very detrimental to your health later on, and it could have been avoided. So learning to be okay with saying, no, thank you, I'm going to find someone else, I think is probably one of the hardest things, because everyone wants to be nice.
Not everyone wants to be nice, Annie, but you always want to be nice. And I think part of being a woman is that you want to be a people pleaser, and you want to smooth over things, smooth over ruffled feathers. And you believe, you and I are so much alike this way, you want to see the best in people. And you want to believe that this doctor has your care at heart. And they probably do. It's just that not everybody's a good fit.
Yes, exactly. And I've had to call offices later on saying that I'm not going to be seeing them again because I feel as though we're not a good fit.
Sure.
And I've reached out to, whether it be friends, family, old coworkers, old superiors at work to say hi. Or even my other providers, the ones that I do trust, saying, well, this doctor is not doing it for me, or I'm not happy because they're not answering questions or ignoring. Who else could you suggest in your team? Or is there some other person that a couple people may have mentioned that are wonderful and also work with the congenital heart groups? And that's how I found a lot of the amazing team, my providers that I have currently, is by saying no, thank you, and then reaching out desperately, writing please, asking for help, finally just letting go and allowing myself to be raw and open that I'm struggling. I am struggling. And if I don't seek or find the help I'm looking for, I don't know what's going to happen to me in a way mentally, because it becomes almost like an obsession because you want to be feeling better
in
all aspects of your body.
Yeah. I really appreciate you sharing the fact that it's a struggle. Because I think some people think, of course, I should be getting along with this doctor, or of course, it's on me to make this relationship work. And let's face, there is give and take. It does take two people to have a relationship, but sometimes it's just not a good fit. And if you and I are both people who like to ask a lot of questions, and we're the kind of people who want to know, let's face it, there are some patients who just don't want to know the nitty gritty. They just want to get their medicine. They just want to have their tests. They don't want everything explained to them because they get overwhelmed easily. And there are doctors that work really great with those kind of people, but those doctors may not work so great with people like you and me, because we want to know as much as we can. And then when things happen, like I heard you share at a conference that we went to together, where you were talking about how you were struggling, how you were gaining weight. You couldn't understand why you were gaining the weight you were, and you just felt sluggish. And you're like me, you're a little energizer bunny. So for you to all of a sudden not be able to go, 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 you know something's wrong.
Yes.
And,
and then admitting that something was wrong too was also a tough thing to do.
Yes. You wonder, okay, is it just me? Am I just sick? Maybe I have a cold, or
maybe I'm eating too much and I'm not realizing it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's easy to want to be in denial for a little bit, but you and I are so pragmatic that we realize after a while, okay, we just have to meet this head on. And I think that's one of the things that is scary when you meet it head on. Yeah. One of the things that has always impressed me with you, Annie, is that you try to do things right. You do work on your nutrition and you do exercise. I remember when I saw you at the Care Hope Discover conference, how you were talking about how frustrating it was for you to feel like you were doing everything right. You were paying attention to your diet. You were exercising. Mm-hmm. And yet your body was failing you. And oh, Annie, it just broke my heart to hear you sharing how you felt like your body was betraying you. So tell me how you were able to stay upbeat despite going through one trial after another.
I have to say the first step was, and I know some people may not understand it, and that's okay. It was learning how to cry and allowing myself time to process what my body was doing. And find new doctors who understood. Because as you said, the PCP or primary care physician I was seeing at the time, when that crap hit the fan, you put it nicely.
Thank you for not using really bad language.
He dealt with normal-hearted patients. I was actually his only congenital heart patient. And when I explained what was going on, and you could see the weight that was on me, it was actually water weight. He kept talking to me about how there are times people think they eat very little, and in reality, they're binging and eating a lot. And I actually took a picture of the small little cereal that could fit in my palm that I had all day long, because that's the only amount of food I could eat. And so that became very frustrating and became my own mission for myself.
When you said that you had to learn how to cry again, mm-hmm. I think to me what that means is you had to face up to the fact that you were facing something really serious and your PCP wasn't getting it. I think it's scary when you feel like you're doing everything right and then your body fails you. But what impressed me about you, Annie, was that you were still able to stay upbeat during that. Now, I didn't see you through the whole thing. So the fact that you said you had to learn to cry again, that tells me that obviously you weren't feeling happy, but you were facing your situation. You were confronting it. And I'm wondering, yes, is that what helped you to stay positive? The fact that you were like, I'm going to beat this.
Yes, exactly. It was having a good support system, which I know is difficult for some people because they may not have it. But learning to then be your own support system is where it comes from within. And that learning to cry, it wasn't just crying over sadness that I no longer felt like I had the life I once had, but it was also crying of just anger.
Sure.
At being ignored and no one understanding. At that time, I didn't have other friends who had congenital heart defects. I only just had a healthy heart of people. And so trying to find that network, trying to find that system, trying to find answers, it made me very determined. And through that determination, it gave me a positive outlook as I slowly started piecing together a group that could help me one way or another, whether it be listening to someone else's story or reading it and realizing I'm not alone. That gave me the hope that I can get through this. Whatever it's going to be, whatever the answers are, whatever testing, operations, and everything else, I can get through this because I want to get through this. What also helped me remain positive was my pets. Aww. I had two cats at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all I could think of was, what would happen to them if I gave up? Yeah. I'm responsible for these two little animals. And where are they going to go if I finally say I can't do it anymore? When in fact, I can. I really can. And it helped me. Knowing that I had that, that was also my support system. And so being honest with my doctors and allowing me to say, mentally, I'm not there. Even spiritually, I started praying again. I started visualizing myself, trying to find answers, trying to find a healthier body, even trying to find a healthier mindset. Because we can go to a deep, dark hole. We know that. Every parent knows that who has a congenital heart child, and every patient who has a congenital heart defect goes through that, but also the siblings too. And that's what we start thinking about. How many other people become affected besides myself? And by finding the help, by realizing that my attitude to get to where I need to, sometimes it has to be of determination. And behind that, it's the positive hope that through this determination, I will continue thriving, or at least find a way to live that makes me happy.
Tonight Forever by the Baby Blue Sound Collective.
I think what I love so much about this CD is that some of the songs were inspired by the patients.
Many listeners will understand many of the different songs and what they've been inspired by. Our new album will be available on iTunes, Amazon.com, Spotify.
I love the fact that the proceeds from this CD are actually going to help those with congenital heart defects.
Enjoy the music.
Home Tonight Forever.
This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The opinions expressed in the podcast are not those of Hearts Unite the Globe, but of the hosts and guests, and are intended to spark discussion about issues pertaining to congenital heart disease or bereavement.
You are listening to Heart to Heart with Anna. If you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on our show, please send an email to Anna Jaworski at Anna at hearttoheartwithanna.com. That's Anna, at hearttoheartwithanna.com. Now, back to Heart to Heart with Anna.
Annie, let's start this segment by talking about finding or creating success when it comes to putting together your healthcare team, because you have already told us that there have been times that you've had to say, no, I'm not going back to this person. And that's just very common that the person, the very first person that you're matched together with may not be a perfect fit. So I think one of the things that's hard for me here in Texas, I have an HMO. I'm limited with who I can go see. So tell us how you have successfully navigated that. Everybody has insurance issues, if they have insurance. And if you don't have insurance, that's a whole other ball of wax.
Yes, it is. And I think that's why I really appreciate the state I live in, because we have that ability to give people insurance who do not get provided by their work, or they're unable to work. And so they're able to be given something. As for myself, I've been very fortunate that most of my providers have been within network with my own health insurance. And so reaching out to those providers and or those who I already have as providers when I've needed new doctors, because I'm advocating for myself and saying that in a sense, getting a doctor is like getting a new date. I sometimes feel like, you know, you're in that rotation of dating where you have a few people who have either, whether you've done it online or you go to a place and you do that round dating and stuff, or you're just meeting someone in a bar, listening to their pitch for the first few minutes can automatically, and by listening to your gut, make you say yes or no to this person. And it's the same with doctors. And the doctors want you to be able to know that you can go to them. That's usually, they're very open and wanting and understanding. Of course, you are going to find a few bad apples, just like a few bad dates. That's not the case. And you just move on. Now, like I said, by speaking with your own trusted providers that you have found, when you're able to talk to them and say, listen, it's not working with so-and-so because they're not doing A, B, C, and D, even though I'm trying my hardest. And that is also the key goal, is you have to give as well. It's not just a one-way street. Otherwise, the relationship between you and your doctor is not going to work. They're not miracle workers, that's for sure.
So when they tell you, you really need to cut out salt, or you really do need to exercise, you have to get up and move around. If you don't do your part, you can't expect to start getting better. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with asking for guidelines with that. When someone tells you to cut out your salt, what does that mean? If you're able to count how much salt you have, if you're one of those types, and maybe asking for a specific number, saying, what would you recommend how much salt I should have a day for my heart condition? Or what do you recommend I do in terms of getting changes so that maybe this food that I love, how often could I have that? Or if I do have to cut it out, what's a good alternative? Maybe asking then for a nutritionist, if they're able to provide one, or somebody else that who can help reach out and work with you on changing that. For instance, I was once told I had to give up alcohol because of my liver. And not an alcoholic, but I do enjoy a good drink to unwind on a weekend or with my girlfriends. And it was very difficult. And I had a very great support system in terms of friends who understood and cut back a little with me. And until I felt comfortable and realizing, oh, I love seltzer water. I love doing this, or I love something else, and being okay with it, learning to be okay with the uncomfortable. It's what guided me and can guide you too into better health, because nothing in life is comfortable. And having new challenges is what allows us to thrive and grow. So learning to, as I said, be okay with the uncomfortable is where you'll get to the next step, and hopefully to the next provider that will get you there. But I will say, in terms of providers and healthcare insurance, one of my groups, Boston Children's Hospital, was removed as the first tier, which means I would be charged more for things I never got charged before.
Oh,
and
no.
I fought and wrote letters to my health insurance to speak with a rep and explain why it was necessary. And they do have a wonderful adult congenital heart group within their own system, but it's not the one I've been seeing since I was a child.
So and for continuity of care, which is a really important issue for those of you who are born with complex congenital heart disease, that continuity of care, there is nobody else that you can go into brand new and feel this level of comfort that you can with the people who have known you since you were a kid.
Yeah. And that, unfortunately, can cause for patients to then be out of network completely because they might not have the capability within themselves or the know of how to fight for that provider, how to fight for that group so that they can afford it still.
Yeah. So sometimes it takes knowing the right words. When my heart warrior had the first two surgeries, there was nobody that was that close to our hospital that was doing it. So they paid for us to go all the way to San Antonio. But by the time we had the third surgery, they wanted us to go to Dallas. Mm-hmm. And because of exactly what you're saying, the continuity of care, going back to San Antonio would be the same surgeon, the same anesthesiologist, the same nurses. Not all of them, of course, but enough that it does make a difference. That was the terminology I had to use in one of the letters that I wrote. Now, we got denied three times. I wrote letters over and over, and that was the key that worked, continuity of care. The other phrases that I used before that didn't work. We got denied. But finally, I called my child's doctor, and I said, what can I do? They keep denying us. And they said, use this phrase. So sometimes it's having the right jargon. And how do we know? We heart moms.
We don't. Exactly.
And it changes.
All the time. But that's the thing. Being able to have people in your group, whether it be someone you know physically or someone you know from the internet who's maybe gone through the same thing or knows of someone who's gone through it, having that person or persons there is what helps you, is what helps educate you so you can then educate the next person when you are asked for help too. I'm going to have a big surgery coming up around the end of October, beginning of November. And my doctors come over from Boston Children's Hospital into the hospital I'm going to be going and staying at. That right there, just them crossing that bridge, the physical bridge, can cost me between $700 to $1,000 per visit.
Oh, wow.
And when I found out that my health insurance did not cover that, the first time, I fought them. So now, proactively, knowing that I'm going to be going into this, knowing I may be staying at least in the hospital for possibly a week, that I'm going to start calling my health insurance this week and start saying, what paperwork do I need to start preparing? What do I need to do? So that way, if I do get charged, it's something I can afford. Because if you're staying there 7 days and you're now having to pay $7,000, and I'm fortunate that I have a full-time job, but you have patients who don't, or, you know, are incapable, whether it be because of a disability, their heart condition, or anything else, that's money that they might not see for at least a year.
It's scary. When you start looking at the cost of the healthcare in the United States, we are so lucky to have the kind of healthcare we do, but the cost can be terrifying. And that's why every time we go to our local hospital, they always ask us, do you know that there is help for you financially if you need it? You can go down, you can put on a payment plan so that you don't have to worry about that. When you're dealing with these major health issues, the last thing you should worry about is how in the world am I going to pay for this? And that is something that a lot of people do have to worry about. But let's talk about negative experiences, because unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we can learn as much from our negative experiences as we can from our positive experiences. So can you share with us some lessons that you've learned that were, some people may classify as negative, that just when the provider wasn't able to give you the care that you actually needed?
Yes, I've had a few experiences. What I was saying earlier about that old primary care physician and not believing that I wasn't eating. And I was running every day slower and harder because my heart was starting to fail. That was definitely a huge negative. And I said, all right, I can't and I won't. And went immediately to my medical team at Boston Children's showing up, and they were thinking, oh my goodness. So that was my first strike in the sense of, this is now really me having to take care of me. Mom and dad, yes, are there, but in that sense, I really have to speak about it. I really have to speak out. My other negative experience was when they didn't know, okay, so now they could diagnose me with congestive heart failure, great. But that's not causing the reason for all the society's fluid showing up. I'm not kidding you when I say within a matter of months, I looked like I was 9 months pregnant. And I wasn't pregnant. It was fluid. I couldn't even shuffle from one area for a few feet without having to catch my breath because the fluid was now overtaking my lungs. It was getting very hot and I was struggling. The doctors had no idea. I was going in. First, they saw, okay, now I have a hernia because your skin does not expand that fast without some kind of consequence. And it was the GI doctor I was given, who I still love to this day and miss, and he's wonderful. He saw something on my appendix and said, if we're going to go in, then we need to also remove our appendix because that looks funny, but we should take this, we should take that. My heart doctor was saying, and God love him, he was like, no, because heart can't handle this. And the surgeon was saying, but if we're going to go in, I'm going to have to learn all about this because it's so unique and different. And everyone's telling me different stories, different outcomes. Every time, almost on the same day, within a matter of hours or minutes.
Gosh.
And my mother and I would look at each other saying, so is the sky red and the grass is blue? What's going on here?
Yeah.
And I asked to speak with them. I said to one doctor, please come in my room at this time if you can. I made it early, not during round time. You learn round very quickly.
You do, definitely.
And so when they all came in, I explained, this is what you're saying, this is what you're saying, and this is what you're saying. So the surgeon, it's not his fault because he has no clue with up or down. It's you two. What are we deciding? I said, we're running all these tests that are outside of me and nothing's showing up other than I have, congestive heart failure. Great. And my liver labs look just a little off, just a little. And this is what I also say to patients. You could be dying and they're like, your labs look great. It's just this tiny amount. It's, you know what? My body works so differently that even that 0.1 percentage off could spiral everything else out of control. And so they agreed that surgery was the way to go. They checked everything out, cut out the appendix, cut out anything that looked odd, took samples of everything inside of my body cavity that they could take samples of, cutting tissue, this and that. Long story short, it was patched up. They did find that I had appendix cancer. That's why it looks so odd.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It's cancer. Rare.
I was going to say, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. As we see HD patients know, if it's rare, it's us.
I know, right? You guys are literally one in a million. Oh my gosh.
But they could see my liver finally wasn't normal. They could see other things. They saw that I had that autoimmune disease. That took a very long time too, because insurance didn't want to pay for the final testing that would prove that I did not have mesothelioma, because things were within my body cavity. My immune system was fighting against its own protection. And so it was through a lot of things. But to get there and get the answers and to get to where I am today, those negative experiences are the reasons why I tell people, fight for your care. Find new providers, seek out to others, whether they be medical teams or even congenital heart people. Ask for their experiences. We all have different experiences, but there are pieces of those experiences we can take things from and help ourselves. And this is why I do believe that as tough as it is, that negative brings about some kind of positive. Even if you don't see it right now, this was all in my 20s going into my 30s. And I'm going to be 44 next weekend. If I could see myself now back then.
Oh my goodness, that would have been such a picture of hope for you.
Yes, I had the hope there.
Yeah.
But you still have that lingering effect of what if. There was even talk of transplant at one point. It was talk of you're not going to live past this month because if this is your diagnosis, it's severe and that's it. Merry Christmas. Here you are sitting at the Christmas table and everyone is she making it for New Year?
But wow.
It's what allows me to know that when I wake up in my own bed, taking my own shower, not attached to something that's beeping, not needing a nurse to come in to detach me, to help me, to get me up, to give me pain meds, or to make sure I'm walking the room around. That's where you're reminded this quality of life that I've now received from the fight I had to go through. It's what makes it worth it. And there's no more talk of needing transplants. Nor will I talk about that either for myself. There's just talk of how can I maintain where I am? How can I continue getting better? I have tough days. There are days I sit on my couch and I'm like, I'm not working out today. But I have to remember, okay, if it's not going to work out, then how's my food going to look? How is other aspects going to be affected or need to be affected so that I'm not going back down that path?
Anna Jaworski has written several books to empower the congenital heart defect, or CHD, community. These books can be found at Amazon.com or at her website, www.babyheartspress.com. Her bestseller is The Heart of a Mother, an anthology of stories written by women for women in the CHD community. Anna's other books, My Brother Needs an Operation, The Heart of a Father, and Hypoplastic Left Heart Syndrome, A Handbook for Parents, will help you understand that you are not alone. Visit babyheartspress.com to find out more.
Heart to Heart with Anna is a presentation of Hearts Unite the Globe and is part of the HUG Podcast Network. Hearts Unite the Globe is a nonprofit organization devoted to providing resources to the congenital heart defect community to uplift, empower, and enrich the lives of our community members. If you would like access to free resources pertaining to the CHD community, please visit our website at www.congenitalheartdefects.com for information about CHD, the hospitals that treat children with CHD, summer camps for CHD survivors, and much, much more.
So in this last segment, Annie, I want to talk about attitude, because I believe that to truly be successful, you have to have the right attitude. And I want to know what advice you have to stay optimistic and to stay positive, especially when you have trauma in your background.
Like I said before, having friends and support people, whether they be family, colleagues, even animals, providers, is what helps, as well as those with congenital heart defect, the community. I never understood having that kind of community would be so beneficial to my mental well-being the way it is. Being able to help others, realizing when I have to push back and say no to people or no to things is where it's okay. It allows me to remain from becoming this crabby old person who goes, hey, and I won't deny.
It will never happen. That is just not you.
There is that piece in me that I only show from time to time to people that can get early. It does get a little cranky, but without that, I feel like that mask that we all try to wear to show that we're fine, we're good, we're happy. It's like that cartoon. You see the dog sitting at the table and this fire behind him and he's drinking his coffee saying, I'm fine. You're not. How are you going to remain positive if you can't admit to yourself that there's some negative going to be occurring all the time? And it may not just be your health. It may be a crappy day at work, or you fell and scraped your knee, or the brand new outfit you just bought, you ruined because you spilled your entire cup of coffee on you. You know, you're going to have those days. But remember, you have those days. I think that's what even myself, I have to remind myself sometimes with, is I'm fortunate to be able to say, oh, gas just went up so high, but I can afford it. I have a car. I'm able to do that. Or if I can't have a car right now, then I have public transportation. Even if at times it doesn't always work, I can still use that. I've got my two legs. It's those small little pieces within ourselves. You made breakfast today. Congratulate yourself. Maybe you were able to make the last couple of meals because you were depressed or you were unhappy or whatever the situation might be. And you finally got the attitude to do it, the strength. Maybe it's being able to call a sibling you haven't spoken in a while because you're upset and just hearing their voice for a moment, even if it's you're talking about absolutely nothing. Just those little pieces of having that in your life can help you remember that you have the life. You have it. It's so not easy. And it's not just us who go through it. I think the trauma behind it is working through that. For me, COVID became something horrible and wonderful at the same time. Mm. COVID became the world where I finally admitted to my providers that I was spiraling out of control because of a horrible relationship breakup I couldn't get over, but also because I could not face the medical life anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start spiraling, everything comes up. Yeah. Oh my God, what's going to happen? What if, what that, if I get COVID, the needles, the hospitals, all of that, could I do it again? Do I have the strength in me again? And honestly, I got tired and sure. I couldn't. And I reached out to my primary care physician and I said, help me. I really need your help because I'm not going to make it. And he did. He immediately got on the phone and got me a wonderful social worker and a team. And that social worker was able to get me into a very intensive therapy group. And I found actually it's a different worker too, who got me into another therapy. But the intense one was every week for almost 2 hours, depending on the situation or the course, where we had homework and we spoke to other patients who had other conditions, other complexities in their lives, medical complexities, not heart. I was the only one with a heart condition. Other people had other medical complexities and they were still struggling with the same things that I was struggling with. And we had to face the worst case scenarios. We had to talk about what makes us cry in fear, sure. What makes us go back and face what we're currently facing now, and how can we continue? Because as the medical social worker said to us, it's not going to end. The fear, you have to keep facing them again, because there's things that you're still going to be going through every day until it's time for your life to end, of course it's supposed to. And I was able to do that. It was so intense and it was so difficult. But because of that outcome, the ability to then tell someone when we're having an argument, I need a few minutes. If I respond now, I'm going to backlash and regret it later. So give me a few minutes. And working on code words with people, or really listening and admitting when I'm wrong, admitting when I need help, talking to people and saying, I'm not going to stand for this anymore. So if you can't do it right the first time, then I need somebody else. I am not a pincushion. I am not a punching bag. I am not this flesh and bag of bones that can do and deal with everything the same way that you think I can, because maybe you can, but mentally I can't. And so by having all of that and going through it all, it's what creates the positivity inside of me to know that if I slide backwards again, I have people and I have groups I can reach out to. I have accountability that I've asked for. I've created.
Yeah. And I think that habit is what's so important. It doesn't work well if you do it once.
Yes.
You have to make a habit of it.
You do.
And for me, when I've been depressed or when I've been going through a really hard time and it seems like I'm not getting better, I got COVID. I was sick for 5 weeks. I really wondered if I was dying. It was scary.
It is.
It's like you said, you have to acknowledge, okay, I'm sick. I can't do everything. I had to do spotlight shows. I couldn't do a brand new show. I was so sick. I couldn't write a script. I couldn't do the recording and the sound engineering and everything. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to my team and I said, I just can't do this right now. And they said, Anna, rest. It's okay. We've got this. Having that support team and being able to admit that, it was so hard for me to admit, I just can't do this right now.
Yeah. And admitting is the first step towards getting help for yourself, and also allowing your doctors to realize they can give the help.
Yeah. Yeah. That you're willing to accept it. Not everybody is willing to accept therapy. For me, therapy was a lifesaver. There were a couple of times I went into a really deep depression. We were losing too many kids in the heart community. And these were my friends. These were children I loved. Yeah. And to lose them, I felt like I was losing a piece of myself too. Yeah. And then there's the whole survivor's guilt. How can my kid be making it when my kid was sicker to begin with? But you don't want your kid to die. So there's all these conflicting emotions. And if it wasn't for therapy, for writing is my best therapy, that's what works for me, but also prayer. And gratitude.
Yeah.
My husband and I
journal
and we write things that we're grateful for. And sometimes they were just little things. Like I remember writing to my husband, I really appreciate the fact that whenever you make grilled cheese sandwiches, you always keep the first one that you burn for yourself and you give me the one that's not burnt.
Oh.
And I didn't know you saw that. He said, I never realized that you saw that. So for me to tell him I was grateful for that, It's a little thing, but sometimes those little things are the things that really matter.
Yeah, and I try to remember that. I try to tell people thank you and I appreciate whatever it is. Or I might just even say, I appreciate you. Like my partner, there was something that he did that was so wonderful and I appreciated that. Or I have to talk to him about something, and texting isn't always the right way, but sometimes you just have to get it out right there and then. Mm-hmm. And he'll say, I was saying this because of this. And I said, yes. And I was saying that because I just needed to be able to say it. And it helped. And I think sometimes people don't realize that saying what's so hard is an honor for those listening to be that recipient.
Exactly.
Because it's not easy going to someone and say, I just need you to listen, or I need your help, or maybe I need your response because I need your opinion. Sometimes opinions aren't needed. You just want someone to rub your back and say, it's okay, I'm here for you. And other times you do want to say, what am I supposed to do? Help me. And that person can then give feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Sometimes we don't want our significant other to fix things. We just want them to say, this is really crappy. You shouldn't have to be going through this because I can't fix it. But there are times that you want them, can you just go get my oil changed? I'm just not up to it today. And they can't fix it. So yeah, knowing when there is something they could do and when there isn't something they could do, that is of primal importance. But that comes with a lot of talking and communicating and being open. Okay, what does she want me to do? And Frank will even say sometimes, am I supposed to just hug you right now? Or do you want me to fix this?
I know. And I've gotten that too, where it's, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, just hug me. Just hold my hand.
I like that too. But sometimes they just need to be told, just like this. There are times I like to think that I'm intuitive and I can anticipate what Frank's needs are. But sometimes he needs to tell me, okay, Anna, back off. I just need space, or I just need this, or no, please come give me a hug, or can you please help me with this or that? And I think we've been married, gosh, a long time. We're going on 37, which is amazing. Yeah, so we feel like we can read each other's minds, but we can't. And there are times.
No, exactly.
Yeah, there are times that you do have to take that moment and say, here's what I'm feeling you need. Am I reading you right? Sometimes you misread, and that's when problems can happen. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And through all of that, it's what keeps you being able to work on yourself, because we're constantly doing that. The masterpiece is never done until it is finally done. And so we're going to need like a car oil changes, and I need to go and get our glasses repaired and springs rejointed and everything else.
Yep. Yeah. Things happen. Yeah. Things wear out. And having a heart defect, you do focus on your heart, but you have other parts of your body too. Things happen. Yeah, so exactly. I think you're wise to recognize that and to not be afraid to tell people.
Yeah. And also realizing that there's going to be fear when you find out that within your community, someone has, that it's okay to cry for them. Even if you didn't really know them over a cup of coffee or you met up with a meal with them, then it's okay that you still built that relationship electronically through the interwebs, because they maybe shared some kind of bond with you, whether it be because of the same defect or because of the way both on the same medications or just same sport, same love of comics, same movies. Who knows? But those pieces are where you're going to have to say to yourself, we're all going to at some point pass. We have to recognize that. We have to be open to that, as scary as it is.
Sure.
We just need to know that we feel comfortable with what we're doing so that we feel we have quality within ourselves in our lives. You know, I mean, not everyone's going to write a great, amazing book about their experiences. Not everyone's going to write the next screenplay or save kids, but that's okay. Knowing that you lived a life where you felt happy, comfortable, safe, and able to reach out when you needed that help, that's what matters. I have a Zimmer brother that I have accountability with. We talk to each other because he has his fears. And some of his fears are even greater than mine at times. And I think, wow, sometimes I forget that even though I'm okay with something, somebody else isn't.
Right.
And that's okay too, for me to realize and understand, because it creates more empathy. and also more positivity within myself to know that I can be there for someone else. And yeah, it's a puzzle that we're always trying to put together. And there are pieces you're going to toss and pieces you're going to keep. And that's okay if you have to say goodbye to something. You need to let it go for your own safety, well-being, mental health, whatever it might be that you needed to let go of, because it's not serving you at that time and moment.
And we have to be flexible, right?
100%.
Like I say with the willow tree, you got to bend with it. Otherwise, you break.
No, it's so true. It's one of my favorite trees.
As you get older, it's harder to do the bending.
It really is. It is. There are days I get up and I'm like, oh, that wasn't difficult before.
Oh, things creak and pop and crack on me that never did before.
Exactly. Or maybe I'm not the runner spa, or maybe I can't push myself. That's something I've learned through my age too. I used to be able to work out twice a day, an hour each time, intensely, without a thought. Now I'm like, I need a rest day. I need a rest day or two, because this body here is, whoa, Nelly, you're not 20-something anymore, my dear. You're in your 40s. And guess what? Without a rest day, we're going to hurt worse.
Yeah. I think it's smart that you are able to listen to your body. You're in tune. You're in touch with your body. Because, yes, as we get older, we do need more rest days. And that's okay, because we're still going. You got to keep pushing yourself, but also give yourself grace. And I think that's something, whether it's giving yourself grace through exercise, through having that glass of wine with your friends, through
listening to music or creating some art, or maybe just going through a little walk through the woods that makes you say, I feel connected.
Exactly. Something like that to just give yourself some of that inner peace. That's what we need. Create a little quiet time.
You then can create a more positive life for yourself.
Absolutely.
With, of course, a little bit of extra spice added in there.
Absolutely. Got to have that extra sauce, right?
Exactly. I just got awarded for being clown at work.
No way.
To say I was shocked is an understatement. Apparently, I made a face too, because everyone was like,
oh my goodness, that's so funny.
But sometimes my sarcasm or the way I talk about things, it makes people laugh because it's real. I don't hold back sometimes, or I spin it in a way that allows people to feel comfortable to laugh too.
Laughter is huge. We have to have laughter in our lives.
We definitely do.
Annie, I have so enjoyed talking to you today. You are a huge success story to me. And I just wish everybody could have a chance to talk to you like I have, because this was totally delightful. Thank you so much for coming on the program today. I'm so lucky to have you for a friend, Annie. And I'm so happy I could share that with my listeners, because we do make such deep friendships here in the Heart community when we really open up like we did today. This was really good. And I'm hoping that those of you who are listening, that you found some pearls of wisdom, or if not, at least somebody else you can relate to. And that will help you to know that you're not alone.
You're not alone.
Friends, if you enjoyed this podcast episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or YouTube or wherever it is that you listen to this show. And remember, my friends, you are not alone.
Thank you again for joining us this week. We hope you have become inspired and empowered to become an advocate for the congenital heart community. Heart to Heart with Anna, with your host, Anna Jaworski, can be heard at any time, wherever you get your podcasts. A new episode is released every Tuesday from noon Eastern Time.